shorts and bag.
That's a nasty looking finger, lady.
You got the bait?
What? No.
Hey, I got your fertilizer.
We made you.
Welcome back, interweb friends, to Stop the Movie. I Want to Get Out. Hollywood makes terrible, horrendously bad movies. We make fun of them. I am your conductor, Alex Dunbar. This one tested my patience.
This is
going to
be a bumpy ride.
Yes, this one really, I went on quite a journey with this movie that ended late at night and with me not sure that I was going to make it to the end. Either my death or the movie's death were real options. I am joined by Brian Mueller.
Itarian life! Yeah.
And then I destroy it.
I was hoping someone would do an Eddie Redmayne. And Cody Wolf.
I can't follow that up.
All of the craziest lines in this are all Eddie Redmayne, whose performance is... like, it's not even a performance. Like, I don't even know how to describe what he's doing in this movie. It's nuts. And, well, we'll get into that
if
more.
If you showed me just that movie and said that guy won the Oscar last year, I don't even know.
I did say it to Kathleen, my girlfriend, last night when we were watching it. She's like, who was that guy? I'm like, he just won an Oscar.
He won an Oscar. I mean, and it is a performance that has no tone or, like, it seems it's all terrible choices.
It's almost like he had someone showed him, like, terrible sci-fi movies to, like, inspire him for this role instead of, like, what a real actor would do. And it's like he just borrowed, like, really terrible, like, straight to DVD ones, because he had, like, the whole, like,
I talk like this because it sounds royal but also evil at the same time.
Yeah, it was like a Mighty Morphin Power Rangers villain.
I was wondering whose choices they were, if they were, like, his or the director's. The way he spoke, his voice, everything, is just so distracting.
I think it had to be some of both. Yeah. I really do. I
thought there was a reason for it, which we'll go into later as we get more in the storyline. I thought at first there was a reason for it, and then as it moved on, I was giving it too much credit. But I didn't even check. Was he nominated for a Razzie for this?
I can't imagine he would be.
I was wondering if a guy
has ever been nominated for a Razzie and an Oscar in the same year.
Well, this came out this year, so the Razzies on this will come out later.
I think that happened with... wasn't that like some actress that happened with? It was like Halle Berry or something.
I think it's Halle Berry. Yeah. I think she...
I just don't think I've ever seen... like, obviously, like, you got guys like Nicolas Cage who have won Oscars and then they've got off the deep end. But usually it takes like a couple years...
Yeah.
But I think this is before he won it, though, right? Like when he was acting
but like
in it.
Months before.
I mean, no, it was shot in 2013.
Still, he would have been like... within a year. He was either going from this to Theory of Everything. I'm like, he was doing...
And he so did Les like Mis right before that, and he was fine in that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I'm saying it's not like he won the Oscar and he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this movie now.
No, but more my point being, like, I don't think I've ever seen an actor... in a year where he's considered, like, the best performance of the year, be so bad within the same time period.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen guys all before. How many times have we seen a movie where, like, the movie's bad, but, like, you'll be like, oh, okay, that actor actually made a washable. He did okay. Like, this was the exact opposite of it. Like, that could have been an okay character, and he just ruined it.
He makes it worse.
Well, it was just distracting whenever he was on screen. Like, every time that character came back, I was like, oh, this is this guy again.
Yeah. All right, so let's...
We'll have
more to say about Eddie Redmayne in this, but trying to get into this movie, because this is a movie that has sometimes no filter in what it's giving you. We see a movie with a Russian couple where a young Russian couple, we actually get to see them meet, and the woman is pregnant.
Yeah.
The father is killed as he tries to prevent robbers from stealing his telescope.
Yes.
A telescope that doesn't really factor into this movie. Like, we don't need any of this, I guess is what I'm saying. This is all meaningless stuff, basically.
I think it was just to, like, oh, her father was interested in space, and now she owns the Earth.
I think, apropos.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. But it's also like, that's crazy. Like, we don't even need that.
Yeah, it was kind of depressing, too.
Yeah. And so then her Russian mom moves to the U.S., We don't even know why those robbers were breaking in.
Yeah, they never said.
There's no context.
I like how like he's got a pregnant wife who looks like she's so pregnant that baby could come out any second. He's gonna about to be a dad, and like they're getting ready to leave. Clearly not going to harm them.
Right.
Like, just sit there, let them do what... No, you have to be the one that freaks out when they take your telescope.
Yeah.
He didn't act like that when they pointed a gun at his wife, but when they took the telescope...
Yeah, it's like when they point the gun, he's like, okay, yeah, just all right. She's like, no, not the telescope!
Yeah, yeah.
Take my wife.
Yeah. Take my wife.
My unborn child.
Please. So, and then we see... a baby being born in this ocean liner as they're crossing over, I guess, presumably to the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And I think somewhere in here, we cut to this crazy scene apparently on another planet of Eddie Redmayne and two others. I've seen the whole movie. I don't even understand this scene. I just have a note here. I'm like, what is this royal family BS? Where it's three...
I seriously don't understand, but there's something like they all own planets, like real estate.
They all own planets. Like, I feel like this is like a monopoly thing.
Yeah, and one of them's like, I want that Earth planet. And the other guy's like, no, Earth's mine. It's valuable. And he's like, oh, I want it though.
And it's literally like that. And it's like, end scene. Yeah. And I'm like... And this is my big problem with a lot of this movie. It's a little like The Captive, that Ryan Reynolds movie, where... you're seeing stuff and you're like, I have no context for what I'm looking at. Yeah, and it completely sucks any emotional involvement out.
It was weird because it goes from, the 1970s or whatever, Russia, and then, the baby's born on the boat in the middle of the Atlantic and you're on Earth and it's like relatable. Then all of a sudden it's like you're on a planet that looks completely alien and these people, like these queens and princes and princesses or whatever. And
you're just and
this is a completely different movie, just crashed into the one I was watching.
Yeah.
And this is where I thought, when this is the Eddie Redmayne's first scene, when this is an annoying voice. And at first, because then they were making light of the one, I guess we find out is the sister, and they're like, oh, you have wrinkles, you look old and everything. And I was thinking like, oh, okay, like Eddie Redmayne looks kind of oldish. Maybe he's just talking like that because he's like old and feeble and...
Right,
that will change later. But
no, it's just like a choice or something.
I don't know. It was just annoying. I don't know if he was just trying to be annoying, like the whiny, annoying son or something.
But he was like kind of the big brother. I thought he was supposed to be like the elder statesman of the three.
I thought so too.
Baby,
yeah,
because he's the main bad guy.
Is he? I guess. Well, I guess
I spent the whole movie trying to figure out who the main bad guy was until the end when he was like, "Okay, I guess it is him."
I guess it is. Yeah. Oh, so there's there's three royal family members. There's the sister, a younger brother, and Eddie Redmayne, who's the older brother, and they seem to be.
No, age is all relative in this.
Age is age is just a number in this movie, and they all are talking about like what planets they own and some kind of family business, and then it's like. Moving on. Okay.
Just now, remember that in 30 minutes.
Remember that much later on. Because Mila Kunis is a cleaning lady who cleans toilets. And if you forgot that she cleans toilets, she is really cleaning toilets. We're going to cut back to that. Do not forget, she cleans toilets.
And she cleans them well.
Yeah.
And she is the one who was born on the boat.
Yes.
Across the Atlantic.
Yes.
We assume so.
Yes. We assume so.
I guess they never do. They actually really.
In the voiceover in the beginning, it's like, "I was born without a home because I was born in the middle of the Atlantic." And,
that's right. Yeah. That's right. And separate from that, Channing Tatum is hanging around on Earth. He's got these boots that are like skates, and he's like looking for some kind of records or he's breaking into a building that some other aliens are also interested in. And somehow the aliens know that he's an alien, and somehow he finds whatever he's looking for, and as he's leaving, somehow he knows the other aliens are waiting for him. I don't know how he knows that. There seem to be no indications to that, and they seem to be doing a pretty good job of not... But he, like, busts out, like, guns blazing, and he's got these boots that are, like, air skates.
Oh, yeah. I groaned so loud when I realized he's going to be skating around the whole movie.
Yeah, I was hoping that was kind of like a one-time thing. But yeah, that was the weapon of choice.
This effect
in 2015, it's like, how lame is that? It's like in the 80s or whatever, I understand it's like skating.
I don't get why they couldn't make them at least like rocket boots or just propelled him. Like, why did it have to be that?
Well, they do at times seem to be like rocket. Like later on, actually in the scene that I thought they worked well in, they were like rocket boots. But here they're just like ice skates and he's like skating and looking pretty goofy in doing it. He escapes, and again, I start putting this in my notes, and it's going to be a recurring theme. No stakes. I don't know who these people looking for him are. I don't know who he is. I don't know who anybody is. I have no connection or...
Because so far, there's no connection to any main characters.
There's none. Just,
this is the first time you see him, and they're fighting. It's like, okay, I don't know.
All I've seen, the only character who I know who she is Mila Kunis, and all I've seen her do is clean a toilet. And she cleaned the heck out of it, but that's all I've seen her do. Okay. And now we cut back again, like now we cut back to the Royals and they want one of the Royals wants somebody killed. And I'm assuming it's Mila Kunis.
Yes.
So okay.
That happens.
And then we cut back to Mila Kunis, who's like helping the lady. She's a cleaning lady. She's helping the lady she works with pick out a dress, and she watches aliens try to kidnap the lady she works with.
Yeah.
But they, but for some reason, I don't. This gets so confusing.
Okay. The person on the planet says like, "Oh, we found." I don't know if it was because of Channing Tatum, but someone found that the person they were looking for was named this name. I can't remember what it was. It wasn't her actual name.
Right.
And I guess they had her address. So they started abducting her roommate, thinking that it was her.
I think it's the lady she works for.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Employer, I mean.
Yeah, it's not her roommate. She lives with Amelia. Yeah. But she goes in the other room to get dressed, and the other woman gets attacked by aliens who realize it's not actually what they're looking for. And then she comes out and like takes a picture, and her phone rings, so the aliens see her, and then they like jump at her. But they aliens, just knock her out and erase
they knock
her memory.
And apparently the aliens don't go, "Hey, I wonder if this young lady is the young lady we're looking for, and not this young lady."
Yeah, because they just like knock her out and erase her memory.
They Men in Black her.
Yeah, and then disappear.
Yeah.
Why didn't those aliens put their little sunglasses on when they erased her memory?
They should have.
Because I thought they were going to abduct her there, and then it's like she wakes up, and it's like, oh, okay.
They don't abduct her, but then immediately, like one scene later, her cousin is like, "Hey, you gonna donate those eggs? You get 5 G's, I get 10. And I'm like, okay, like it's kind of weird, but she but then she kind of agrees to go to this clinic to donate her
eggs. Wants the money because she
wants the clinic, but it turns out the doctors are the aliens who would
I thought this was gonna be
her friend. Like what an, like
for the first half of the scene I thought it was gonna be a dream, like she was like remembering these things that happened just a second ago, like in her dreams, and she would wake up and be like, "What the hell was that?" But no, they're actually the doctors are actually aliens, and they're actually.
When did they figure out she was the one they wanted?
And how did
How did they know she was going to donate her eggs?
How did they know that she was going to be at the clinic?
I think they made it sound like someone was flagged when they like ran her blood work or something, so they realized that it was her, and so they sent aliens to dress as doctors. I don't know.
It's
That's
really
what they made it sound like later on.
I went through the entire movie thinking that the cousin was in on the aliens' plan because he was the one who was sending her to the donate the eggs clinic. And I was like, he had nothing. He was totally in the dark.
That'd be such an elaborate plan when they have the technologies to go into someone's house and take them.
Yeah. Yeah, like they invisibility all this stuff.
Why didn't they just, like, they're aliens and stuff. Why, when she's in the waiting room, why didn't they just take her?
Why didn't they just walk in and be like, got her. Yeah. This is real net level, like, abduction problems you see in this.
Well, a lot of this reminded me of, too, I kept thinking of Mortal Instruments. Because, like, these, like, invisible, you know, like, they had, like, the invisible vampires, whatever they were in that movie.
Yes.
And it's like, now you have these, like, aliens and stuff who are going invisible and fighting and people don't.
And people around, this is all going on, and we don't know about it because they're doing instant repairs somehow. And
I thought for sure, the fact that she was donating her eggs, I thought there was going to be some, like, going to do some prophecy where, like, her son's or daughter is going to be, like, the person that saves the planet. So I thought there was some sort of symbolism and greater purpose to the fact, oh my God, she has to keep her ability to reproduce.
You would think so, because they also play that up as very, that it's very stressful they say
it
for her.
Yeah, and they talk about it the whole time. It's like they hammer that into you the whole time, like, all right, she's donating her eggs. Yes, we get it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get why it had to be that. Why couldn't they have, like, what purpose did that have?
I don't know.
Why didn't they just have she's doing her day-to-day life and she goes to the grocery store and that's where they abduct her? Like,
I don't know.
What was the point of that storyline?
I think it was just to show that she's trying
how,
to
like raise, how crappy her life was?
Well, she was trying to raise money to buy a telescope to tire, you know, sit back to her dad or whatever. But even that doesn't come back.
Yeah, I know.
That's the only one they brought it back.
Layers of irrelevance stacking on top of each other.
Because when they bring that back at the end, I'm like, why bring that back now?
Yeah, like, who cares? Like, even if somebody just missed the first 5 minutes of this movie, they would arguably be better off.
No idea.
Yeah. So the doctors are aliens, and then Channing Tatum skates in on his air skates and is like, pew, pew, and like, you know, shoots it up on his skate shoes.
Yeah, I love how he's like skating around this like room that's like the size of like a tiny little like schoolroom.
Like a clinic, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of golf, like the size of like room. Almost like a large bedroom.
Yeah.
And he's
like skating around in the air.
The skate shoes do not look good in this scene. They look okay in some other scenes.
Why are you even skating? You can just walk around. Like, there's no reason to skate.
Yeah, it's unnecessary. Yeah.
He's trying to impress the girl.
And he's like unconscious.
Every time in over the first like hour of this movie when we cut back to the Royals, if you could have watched me watching this, I was just like, like smashing my notebook over my leg and being like, I don't know who these people are. Like a lady with crazy ears interrupts like a space orgy to tell one of these Royals. Scene. Like, I don't.
Oh. What was going on in that scene?
I do not know what was going on there. I don't even. I have no idea. I was so mad. I was getting like so frustrated at this point when she comes in and she basically says nothing. She's like, walks into this orgy and it's this whole elaborate production of getting his attention and all these shots. And then she's like, hey, I think they might have found something. He's like, all right, keep me up to date. Cut.
I'm going
to
keep orgying.
Oh, I'm like, movie, like, please give me something to, like, hold on to in this world.
It was like a two-dimensional, like, vertical orgy.
Yes.
Like, they're all, like floating
in this
like the
sex little chamber from Supernova.
Yes.
Yeah.
It did seem like
women
that.
And one guy. This, once again, that plays no part in that guy's
characterization. I don't understand why they did that.
No plot. This movie is like all production design, no anything else.
Yeah.
Like just it was just everything feels based on showing us the production design that they came up with, and which is sometimes is fine. Like I've seen plenty of movies that were based on like cool cinematography, or even movies that are based on cool special effects. Usually, they're going to give you at least like a premise of a storyline and characters to hang that on.
Thread, yeah.
This didn't feel the burden of doing that. Oh, okay. So now Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis are escaping from this clinic, and
that doesn't happen yet. She just like passed out, whatever. And she wakes up and she's like in some room in some skyscraper with him.
Yes.
And that's when he's like shows her the hover boots or the hover skates or whatever, and he explains to her like, oh, they're trying to kill you. I had to save you or whatever. And then he's like, all right, ready to go. I've got a ship that's coming to pick us up. And she's like, oh, okay. And he like skates out of the building, out of the window, and the ship that's coming to pick him up like explodes because the bad guys, the bounty hunters, are attacking them here. They're trying to kill her or capture her or whatever.
So bounty hunters are working for Eddie Redmayne?
I don't know.
I thought that Channing Tatum was also working for Eddie
Channing
Redmayne.
Channing Tatum is working
for
the
orgy
brother.
Guy.
Oh, no, that was the orgy guy. Right? Or was it?
I can't remember. Ship was the orgy guys.
You're right.
Because Channing Tatum was working for orgy guy.
Yes, you're
was
right.
But Eddie Redmayne. Titus? I thought that was Eddie Redmayne. Maybe not. Maybe it was the other guy then. But yeah,
to clear up the confusion, there's Eddie Redmayne, orgy guy, and the sister.
Okay, Titus is orgy guy. Orgy guy is who then hired Channing Tatum to find her.
Okay.
Yes.
The other bounty hunters, I think, are working for Eddie Redmayne.
Yes, I think you're right.
Yeah.
By the way, as people who are just watching the movie, we know none of this right now. So we get this really cool chase sequence through Chicago, which visually looks fantastic, and you have no stakes in it because you don't know who the bad guys are.
Yeah, I tuned out for the whole 10-minute chase.
Imagine watching the assault on the Death Star in Star Wars if you didn't know who the Empire was or who Darth Vader was. Yeah. That's like
or
what this
Luke
is.
Skywalker was.
Or who Luke Skywalker. You're like, this all looks great, but I don't know what. I don't know who's invested in what. Yeah. Or like.
Plus, it's in the the first act of the movie, so it's not like the main characters are in any actual peril.
I agree.
Or
right.
Die or
there's like, no. Okay. Yeah, I thought this was the best sequence in the film. Also, was the Chicago sequence, and you're right, it comes way too quick.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing else.
My father was here. He would say that's what she said. I just wanna...
Oh, he would say that. He would.
So let's not say it.
Yeah. And they, because there are no stakes, Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis get away from these faceless aliens,
yep.
And then she's like, whoa, that's crazy. Chicago got destroyed. And he's like, look, they're already rebuilding it. We're going to erase everyone's memories. No one will even know. And she's like, eh, all right.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
This is a theme of the movie. Her character will believe anything. Anything.
Yeah, she even gets called out for it at the end.
Yeah. By a bad guy. Even a bad guy's like, wow, you're really a sucker, and I'm a jerk.
I almost feel bad doing this to you.
So I think
then they go visit Trevelyan, right?
Yeah, Trevelyan.
Oh, Sean Bean, yes. Yes, which as soon as they show, I didn't know anything about this movie. I'm
for
like...
Jupiter Channing?
For Jupiter. Yeah. I was like...
He totally Trevelyans him too now, I think about it.
Well, I'm like, this movie is Sean Bean. I make a joke in my notes. I'm like, Sean Bean, look out for a double cross. And then when that was, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, when that was out of...
All that was missing was faking his own death.
Yeah. So they go see... they go see Sean Bean.
Who is like an... Is he like an ex-bounty? Or an, not an ex-bounty.
No, they're
like
ex, I think like... I part think of like the Legion police or something.
Yeah. Yeah, like military police.
And he's like retired to Earth and he's like keeps bees now.
And he pulls like a Highlander 2 where they're
everyone's
friends.
Dreams. Yeah. Every alien security guard's dream. Retire to Earth and raise bees.
They pull Highlander 2 where they're friends but they have to get into a giant fight when they see
which is
each
really
other.
Surprisingly one-sided.
And pretty violent. I mean, like, uncomfortably violent at times.
Yeah.
But then it all breaks up when we realize that Mila Kunis controls bees.
Yes.
And, like, when she moves her hands, bees move with her hand.
Yeah.
And everyone...
That's her last airbender power.
That is... It's the worst airbending power. She's a bee bender. And everybody freaks out. Sean Bean's like, oh my God, you're their majesty. And again, because Mila Kunis, who's super gullible, isn't even like, what are you talking about? It goes a couple of scenes before she's like, hey, seriously, why do people keep calling me your majesty? Yeah. Which you would think would kind of be the first question you'd ask. Be like, why can I control bees and why am I a majesty or whatever?
It's just such a... Such an odd thing to put in a movie. Like when they're like, oh, bees are genetically engineered to recognize royalty. Like, okay.
Yeah, like, I guess.
You say so. All right. I don't know why like, that's a thing.
Right. But... Yeah, right.
And that didn't really come back at all.
Yeah, that comes back. That also never comes back.
Well, it comes back briefly in the next fight scene. But once again, it really doesn't, like, kind of like with, like, donating your eggs, like you think like there's a greater purpose to this. It's like, well, there's no bees in space, right. So
yeah,
who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Space bees.
And then at one point the movie takes a break for her to take a phone call from her cousin.
Yeah, I do like that. Like they're all like talking about like heavy stuff, and she's this queen of like the earth or whatever.
Queen of the earth.
Like,
all
ring, this ring. Oh, I gotta take this.
Hey, look, I couldn't donate those eggs. Sorry, no money. And he's like, what? I'm so like.
He bought all this stuff already.
And I'm at this point thinking like, yeah. The cousin is how they found her because that's how the aliens were the doctors. No. This scene is totally pointless and it has no meaning in the scope of anything. And it's just like, he's really just like, hey, I'm really mad I'm not getting 10 grand from you donating your eggs. So I'm like,
I still don't get how he negotiated that he got 10 grand and she gets 5 when it's her eggs. Like, I know they explained that briefly, but it's like, that still doesn't make any sense. Yeah.
She should have been like, no, I'm getting the 10.
Like, why is he getting any of it?
He should get none.
What did he do?
The middleman.
Yeah.
A middleman? All she does is go to the clinic. Why do you need a middleman?
To keep the aliens away.
Barrel there.
Am I crazy, or at one point, did Sean Bean say that aliens killed the dinosaurs?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because basically, in order to make the Earth inhabitable for men, or for humans, they had to get rid of the dinosaurs.
Okay.
Because they were a threat to the human race.
And they needed the humans for their spa
treatments.
For their spa treatment business. Yeah. Okay. So then the bounty hunters we saw earlier in the movie find Sean Bean's house, and there's like this felt a little, this just reminded me of Looper or Skyfall.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was very
Looper. Or not Elektra.
Yes.
And Elektra. Where they attack the house.
This is very Elektra. And then there's just a bunch of fighting, and Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis get separated.
Yeah, this is the part where the bees briefly come into play when she's about to get shot, and then she summons the bees to distract the guy.
Yeah.
She
doesn't even summon them. They just like come to help out. They're like, hey.
She's like bee woman, friend of Ant-Man.
Yeah. These bees. She's like Aquaman. She's like, I control the bees. But doesn't do much for her. She gets kidnapped.
Doesn't do much for her when they move her to a planet that doesn't have any of it.
There's no bees. Yeah.
So she gets abducted, and Channing Tatum attaches himself to their ship. He just hangs on as they go into space, and then like through hyperspace, and then through another atmosphere into another planet.
And he's just hanging on.
A shirt. I thought he was.
He didn't have a shirt on.
Yeah. We didn't even talk about that. The whole first half of the movie, Channing Tatum never puts a shirt on.
Yeah.
He gets like, he like takes it off at one point to get like a magical medicine that cures his wounds.
Right.
And then
there was kind
he
of
just like goes on
like,
without
it. I was like, we get it, Magic Mike. Okay. Yeah. Like, you know.
You're in good shape. Okay.
Yeah, got it. Yeah.
This isn't exactly a movie that like the ladies are going to go see.
Right.
Like, you're getting mostly like nerdy men between the ages of like 18 and 30. They're not going to care about this.
I just don't know how he survived the trip through two atmospheres and.
Well, yeah, because they showed him like hanging on, and it looked like the one like thing was going up into the ship. So I'm like, oh, he's like going into the ship now. It's like, yeah, he just hung on.
Do you know what I want to make fun of too? At one point, right when they're about to kidnap Mila Kunis, two of the hunters double cross one of the other hunters.
Yeah, what was with that?
I have no idea what you're even talking about. Like, somebody got double crossed. I to this moment don't understand even what that double cross was.
Yeah, I
want to
talk about that too, because I was wondering, were there? Wait,
I just don't think they trusted them.
No, wait. So, all right, let me just ask this: those little aliens that were the type of aliens that were the doctors?
Yes,
the keepers.
Yeah,
they. Were they with the bounty hunters, or are they a separate?
I think I'm gonna put this out there, and this is so dumb, and I'm mad at myself. I think the bounty hunters and the aliens who were doctors were working for Eddie Redmayne, and then two of the bounty hunters cut a deal with the sister, and that's why they were like pew pew, and they shot all the little aliens and that third bounty hunter.
Oh yeah, because when they land on that planet, they're like. The spa treatment lotion, as we promised.
Right. But why not?
Wasn't the
but
sister,
they never why not
showed
just
it?
Have them working for the sister?
Wasn't the sister just working with the other brother, with Titus? Because when they're like, oh, we have Titus's ship coming to pick her up.
Yeah, that
up,
we need
like,
to
oh,
talk
great.
About as well
yeah.
at
yeah,
some point.
I mean, all of these, there are so many double crosses in this movie where I'm like,
yeah,
I don't
get
understand
what that was for too. Like, why was that in there?
Why? Like, it was so unnecessary and just added to my confusion because I'm like, I don't understand. Like, somebody's double-crossed, but I don't know who.
I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't know why this even matters to this
like,
film.
Why did... I just don't get to, like, why did they... What was the point of showing that? Why couldn't they just made all the bounty hunters all work together? Like, why'd they have to single out that one guy?
Yeah.
Was he an asshole?
Unnecessarily, like... This is a
was
movie.
Was he a union scab? I don't know.
He crossed the line. This is a movie that's really dumb, but wants to portray itself as smart, I think.
Yeah. There's so many red herrings in this movie.
So many. Because we have more
so
to
many
come.
Dead ends.
Yeah. So they bring Mila Kunis to this planet. She's kidnapped. By the way, she's violently kidnapped by these people. They bring her to this planet. She meets the royal sister, and she's instantly like, you're cool. We're friends. You know what?
Mom.
You violently kidnapped me to bring me here, but I like how you talk. And
well, they did a thing, too, I hate, where it's like having like a young actress play like an older character. And yeah. Because then, I didn't know she was supposed to be older, because when she asked Mila Kunis, she's like, how old do you think I am? I'm thinking like 27.
Yeah.
And then Mila Kunis is like, late 40s? I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess she's supposed to be in her late 40s.
Try 14 million.
Yeah, right.
Or 1,000.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, because then, she goes into the spa thing and she gets young, and that's why they have the young actress playing.
Well, because this is like a Zardoz world where people can like live forever.
Yeah.
Well, this scene was good because it was like 45 minutes into the movie, and it's the first scene where they actually kind of explain what's happening.
Right.
A little bit.
That they have this like spa treatment that can...
Well, even before that with the who she is.
Oh,
right?
Who she... Yeah, even the basics of who she was.
Yeah, they finally explain like they... I'm pretty sure this is impossible, but Mila Kunis has the exact genetic makeup that their royal's mother has.
So she's basically a reincarnation of...
So they basically treat her as she is the mother now. So she's heir to all these planets.
Which in theory sounds like interesting, like the kind of issues that would come from that, but not really. Like, nothing's really done with it. Like, it's not... It's just kind of like... They could have just said, like, oh, your genetic code makes you queen of the universe, and it would have been the same thing, because this whole, like, shared genetic code with the mother is just kind of like, it's kind of pointless, ultimately. She goes in. The sister goes into what's known in the Batman comics world as a Lazarus pit, where Ra's al Ghul goes into to rejuvenate himself, and she comes out younger and hotter. And Mila Kunis is like, nice, okay, all right.
Yeah, tell me who your guy is.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know what's going on here, but you're looking good, and I've got some fancy clothes. Wait a second, did I get kidnapped to come here? Nope, doesn't think about it. And then Channing Tatum shows up to rescue her on his like air skates, like sliding through. But now everyone's just cool with Channing Tatum being there. I mean, even though they just violently...
And Mila Kunis is cool with being kidnapped.
She's totally cool with it.
She's like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, she's like, chill out, dude. Like, this lady who kidnapped me is totally all right. She took a weird bath and looks good.
I'm her mom.
Yeah, I might be her mom. And this is... somewhere in here is the first part where, like, there's a lot of talk about one incident in Channing Tatum's character's past where he bit a guy.
Yeah.
And this keeps
and
coming up.
And ripped his throat off.
People talk about this in this movie all the time.
They also mentioned he's like part werewolf, or he is like a werewolf, but that doesn't come in.
He's part... Anywhere. Yeah. Part, he was like genetically genetically like engineered, so he's part wolf.
Yeah, he's like a lichen something. And it's like, why does that exist?
Which, yeah, it really didn't come into play at all.
Yeah, he didn't get like extra vicious or anything at one point. He's just like... I think that's the only point. It was like, oh, he bit a guy because he's part dog.
Right.
And the only thing you could tell he wasn't like quite human was his ears and his like eyes were a little weird. But like other than that.
Yeah, it was totally normal.
Well, I was reading too, like he was wearing some appliance to make his jawline look more like a canine. And I was like, you really can't tell.
That's just dumb. I'm amazed that's a real thing.
Yeah, like he didn't really look like a dog.
Trying way too hard. Yeah.
Someone had to look at his jawline and be like, no, not dog enough. Give me more dog on that jawline.
Is this based on anything?
I don't know. The whole time I was thinking that, like, is it like a...
Because why or something? So. Or? Why did they even make him part wolf? Like you said, that didn't...
Yeah.
Why couldn't he have just been like everyone else? He's just an alien on this planet.
Right, yeah, I have no idea.
This felt a little to me like they wanted it to be a franchise and that they wanted it to be a little... Like, I feel like they were almost taking the Harry Potter model because it... begins and ends in like this very domestic and kind of like almost like poor setting. Like the Harry Potter books famously like always begin and end with his like aunt and uncle that he lives with, and I felt like they were putting in a lot of things like, ooh, in movie 3 we're gonna really bring out his wolf side, because I'm like, didn't happen in movie 1.
I wonder if it had something to do too with, I mean, it was like 2013 and you know, like Twilight and stuff, even like Mortal Instruments had like the werewolves in it too, and I think that was like bigger a couple years ago. Maybe that's why.
Maybe
they're trying to appeal to that audience.
Maybe,
but again, he doesn't turn into a wolf or anything at any point. It's just like
No, he's
he just, mentions like yeah. Empire Wolf.
Yeah, he's okay. Just a dude, basically.
And then they make, I mean, they bring this back later, and they talked about this when they visit Trevelyan in his house, that he also at one point had wings.
Yeah.
That just gets kind of thrown out there.
And he and Trevelyan both lost their wings during the biting incident.
Yeah, because they got kicked out of
it's
the
like, so he was a man who was genetically engineered to be a wolf man, yeah. And then they threw wings on him.
Why not?
Yeah. I didn't... And it's so, like, kind of just, like, thrown out there and occasionally referenced, comes to nothing. I mean, like he does get his wings... Or spoiler, gets his wings at the end of the movie, but you're like... What's the point? Yeah. Like
he already had flying shoes. Like it's not like he couldn't fly anymore.
Yeah, he's already flying. Flying shoes are better. Yeah, and we don't ever see him really use the wing. Like it was just like it was such a random.
Because he can't really fly in space with wings, right? Because there's no.
And it's one thing if it's like
lift.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one thing if it's you have like biblical themes and you're like he was an angel or something. He lost his wings. So like okay, that's like kind of their thing. But like.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't have much for a basis of like werewolf alien men who value their wings that are not genetically that are just manually attached to them.
That were taken away from them as some sort of court procedure.
It was a court martial, yeah.
Like they kept what was saying, that trial like?
They kept saying court martial and maybe last for a time.
I don't know. so now okay, we do get the one other thing I liked in this movie. I liked the Chicago chase scene. And I thought a scene where they go through the bureaucracy of getting Mila Kunis officially named like Majesty or whatever. I thought it was kind of funny.
I think in a different movie.
I thought that was terrible.
In a different movie. In a different movie.
It was like all of a sudden else in the middle of this crazy movie, there's like this just, it just stops and it's like, oh, here's a comedy sequence for 5 minutes.
It is.
And then it goes back into what it was. It's like, what?
Yeah.
It was just out of place.
A mini movie within the movie.
Yeah. It just felt out of place.
Sort of liked on its own terms. Oh, it's totally out of place. Yeah. There is not only a scene out of place, there is no place for it, but it was
And now a scene from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yes.
For 5 minutes.
Actually, you're right. You know what?
Back to this.
Actually, I like it less now because you're right. This is totally a scene from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Yeah. It's just a ripoff of that. Yeah.
It went on forever too. It's like
like a few seconds in, I'm like, oh, they're gonna stick with this, aren't they? This is like gonna be like a
they commit to it.
It was just such they a really tonal shift from every other scene in the movie.
Yeah, it was just totally out of place. It was weird.
And they hang with it.
I didn't time it, but I feel like it was at least 5 minutes.
I've been going.
If you count like all the places they win, and then
finally
at the end where they get her little arm tattoo.
Yeah, it's all just to get her a tattoo and hand for her sign a thing that says she owns the planet.
And she says, "Yep, that's it. I own this planet. You know, I'm the queen of this whatever." And then they do that, but everyone's kind of like very casual about it, and we start to get an idea of what this royal family's business model is, because we know it has something to do with time and rejuvenation, and then we find out Soylent Green is people, this magic powder that they're selling that rejuvenates people.
Is that what that scene? I totally like that scene where they had the thing. I think I spaced out or something because I didn't.
Well, I was going to say, it's this magic powder that liquid that rejuvenates people. Yeah. Maybe it's a powder? I don't even know what it is.
I think it's like a liquid.
Maybe it's a liquid.
You just put it in your bath, let it sit for 2 minutes, and then soak.
And he mentions like you have to kill 100 people to get
one jar.
Yeah.
100 humans can produce one jar.
How did they get... What happened that made them go from the one sister royal planet to the orgy guy's planet?
Because
they sent somehow they found out that they were being brought to this planet, so he sent a ship to pick them up. But she was like, "Oh, great! I was going to bring her there anyways."
So this is I know I think you alluded to this earlier, Cody, but what the sister? What was her role in this? What was she trying to get out of it?
She's just like, "Hey, family business is great, huh?"
But she hired those bounty hunters from Eddie Redmayne.
Yeah.
But both Eddie Redmayne and Orgy Guy wanted to harm her in different manners.
But I think she wants to be with Titus, the Orgy Guy, when they harm her or kill her, whatever the plan is, so that they can own the planet. Like, she'll own it with him or whatever. She has, I think she doesn't want Eddie Redmayne to own it because he's, like, crazy. They're all crazy. But
what was that Chris Hemsworth? Is it Paranoia or the Chris Hemsworth, Harrison Ford, Gary Oldman
yeah,
movie?
Yeah, Paranoia.
I feel like that business plan is, like, crystal clear compared to their business plan. Like, I don't... It's so complicated. Yeah,
I really don't know what.
So
I just. Dumb. I think. I'm pretty sure she was working with Orgy Guy. I'm not exactly sure why or what she's getting out of it, but I know that she was working with him.
It was just such an unnecessary scene. Like, why was that sister even in the movie?
Yeah, she
it
didn't
was
matter.
Stunning to what? Me that she never comes back in the
why
film.
Why did they just take him to Orgy Guy's planet in the first place and explain all of it that they did on the sister's planet?
I don't know.
They could have just made him a little older and he could have gone into the spa and come back younger. Like, what?
Because
she was the only one that aged, too.
She was the only one who
aged.
The
two brothers were, say, the same.
Yeah. Still young, yeah. And she, and really, like, there's nothing, she doesn't threaten Mila Kunis, and at the end, she's just like, yeah, great times, huh? You know,
let's
like,
do this again
like,
sometime.
Yeah, I was like, okay, like, all right.
So, yeah, she becomes queen, and she's on Titus's ship, Orgy Guy, and he's like, oh, where you want to go? And she's like, bring me home. And he's like, okay.
Yeah.
And then I think
so
Channing,
she just goes home.
Yeah, well, then Channing Tatum's like on the ship too, and he's being held captive.
He's being held captive, and then they decide Orgy Guy is going to. Titus is Orgy Guy, right?
Yes.
Okay. So just in case I use either of those terms interchangeably, Titus is like, all right, I'm going to kick that Channing Tatum out of the airlock because.
Oh. Onto me or something.
Yeah, because he's onto me or like Mila Kunis likes him, so I got to get him out of here. So Channing Tatum gets ejected in an airlock that also seems to be full of spacesuits.
Yeah. Just in case they that one through.
Full,
just in case you ever get ejected out of the airlock.
Yeah, so he gets ejected and everyone's like, yeah, that guy we just ejected with like 40 spacesuits is dead. Whereas like Channing Tatum grabs one of many. He's surrounded by them to the point where they're almost like hitting him in the head.
It's like if someone's drowning and someone throws 50 life preservers over. It's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Could build a ship out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, why did, like, he finally grasps the one and puts it on, and then it's, he, like, starts running out of oxygen. It's like, why did he just, like, grab yeah, five of them and then just change them up?
Yeah, you have enough
he could have survived for a month.
Yeah, yeah, he's fine.
And then it's just weird, because, like, yeah, he puts his suit on, you hear the thing say, you have half an hour of oxygen left, get to an airlock or whatever.
Right.
And then, like, just a ship comes out of, like, space. Then it cuts to him, like, being, he's, like, on a gurney.
Yes. Yes. I have a lot of questions about this. Oh, and actually, wait, did we mention yet that Sean Bean does pull a double cross?
No.
Yes.
Does he do it? Yeah.
We didn't mention it, but it already happened.
Yeah, Sean Bean has double crossed Channing Tatum. He is now about to un-double cross Channing Tatum, and Sean Bean is on the ship that picks up Channing Tatum. Even at this point in my life, I don't understand who these people on this ship
That's
were.
What I was wondering. Who are these people?
I didn't Wikipedia this yet. And they are instrumental in the plot. And I don't
it's
know
like
who they
space
are.
Space Marines or something. I don't know. It's
but
like,
who do they work for? Because
they're
they
just
seem,
like transporting people.
Well, they also seem to be like the law. Like at times I feel like they're like the police. But like I'm like, this movie is telling me that this royal family runs everything. And these space police seem to have no loyalty to them, but then who are they working? Are they like independent contractor space police?
I don't know. Well, I don't even know what was going on with Trevelyan, because he double crosses him because like his daughter's his daughter was in danger or sick and
something.
Needed something, so he got the Orgy Guy to help his daughter in exchange for delivering him Channing Tatum and the girl. So they do that. But then the next scene, Channing Tatum, next time we see him, Channing Tatum gets rescued by this random ship of people we don't know who they are, and Trevelyan's in, like, handcuffed and in prison in there.
Because he... Yeah, actually, how did he end up
in
there?
Who caught, like...
As I was watching,
this makes no
confused.
Sense.
Like, who would have known authority-wise that he double-crossed Channing Tatum, and Channing Tatum was, like, ostracized anyway, so why would he even been arrested for that?
Did Sean Bean turn himself in? Did he go to,
what crime did he commit?
He must have gone to the Independent Space Police and been like, I'd like to turn myself in on charges of double-cross. I feel like, what? And they must have been like, well, we're going to lock you up because you've admitted to double cross.
He admits to double crossing a guy who already has been ostracized for biting a guy's throat off.
Yeah. This actually, wait a second. Yeah, this makes.
I was trying to figure that out the whole movie. I was just hoping that eventually something would explain it. And then Channing Tatum gets rescued, and then he's like, asks him why he double-crossed him. He's like, oh, my daughter, whatever. And he's like, he's okay. Release him. Yeah. And then they release him. It's like, wait, Channing Tatum now has the authority to tell these people who we don't know who they are to release their prisoner?
Right. Well, even late in the movie, I was like, is Channing Tatum in charge of the space cops? Or are the space cops in charge of Channing Tatum? It is not clear. Because different things seem to indicate like both ways.
And then near the end, we can discuss this later, but there is in the end scene, they show like the crew of this ship like risking their lives to save Channing Tatum. It's like, do these people know each other outside of like 30 minutes ago when they saved his life?
I do not know. And this was really bothering
me. Yeah, it really bothered me.
I do like too, earlier in the movie, which I hate when they do too, when Trelian and his daughter are at the, you know, and his daughter's like, oh, I gotta go get food or whatever.
Yeah.
And like she goes and she like turns around and she's like, and then like Channing Tatum looks at her like, what? Like, because in movies, nobody coughs unless they're like, in real life, if someone coughed and you looked at him like that, I'd be like, well, it's okay, I just coughed.
She had the also, dust illness.
Clearly something wrong with her.
Also,
she coughed once.
Yeah. Sorry, I just thought of another thing that, why did Trevelyan even need to double cross them? Because they went on, like, it was announced that they landed on that planet, and then they go through that whole bureaucracy scene where they're going from place to place. It's not like they were in hiding. Like, they were out in plain sight going to these different customer service desks, and then Trevelyan comes down after she gets her stamp, and he's like, ha-ha!
Yeah.
There you are. Right, they weren't hiding.
There was no security. Yeah.
Right. Why didn't the orgy guy just be like, all right, guys, get him? Like, why did they need to have Trevelyan, like, double-cross them?
Yeah.
Like, how did Trevelyan and orgy guy even come to be like, what was that negotiating like? Like, hey, if you help me bring in Channing Tatum, we'll help your daughter. And Trevelyan must have been like, what do you need my help? They're like over at the customer service desk.
They're just right there. Yeah.
Like, why did he even need to come to Trevelyan?
I don't know. I don't. It's again, like, it's kind of like the bounty hunter double cross where I'm like, this double cross adds nothing to the film. And the only thing it adds is confusion to the film. Nothing else.
Like, it'd be one thing if Trevelyan was like, all right, I have a safe house where no one will find you. Hide there and I'll get back to you.
Right. Right.
That would be like after this podcast, like, if someone was looking for me and I was just like, all right, see you guys. And I'm just like walking around Wegmans in plain sight.
Right. Right. Right.
But then someone needing like to come to you to find me. It's like,
I was about to say that was your first analogy to not have food involved, then you brought up Wegmans. So.
I always go to Wegmans, so.
Well, so do I.
Well, so now, okay, so now Mila Kunis gets brought to Orgy Guy / Titus's planet, where he immediately puts on a hard sell that they need to get married.
Yeah, it was very weird that she even, like, considered that.
Which is only comical in that I'm like, this is kind of ridiculous, and she's instantly like, I'm in.
Look at that ring.
All right. I'm listening.
This was the first scene, like, we should have kept a tally. I feel like the, like, 9 of the last 10 scenes we talked about, we've established that they were completely useless.
Yeah.
But anyway, well, this is the one scene that kind of made sense because he's telling her, you know, the Soylent Green is people thing. So he's like, my mother's dream before she died was that we would stop harvesting people.
Right.
So we need to marry so that we can make, so together we can stop this. Like that, I was right. Like, all right, like,
right.
I can kind of see that logic.
And then at one point she's kind of like, all right, I see where you're going. I'm buying what you, I'm picking up what you're putting down. Where's that one guy I know, Channing Tatum? He's the one alien I know. Can I run this by him? Oh, I kicked him out of an airlock.
And remember, he bit a guy's throat open. Yeah, you can never forget that.
Yeah, she's like, all right. right, I'm still on for the wedding then. Sounds weird, but that's cool.
And never mind the fact that the guy's sister, like the scene before, was talking about how great that spa stuff is. Like, this is great. You never age.
Yeah.
And then like she's going to her her brother, who's like, we need to stop this.
Yeah.
By the way, I need you to sign over all of your rights to me. Yeah. Or we're totally going to stop making it. Trust me.
So they do this gradual wedding, and then at the same... Is this where... This is... I'm trying to think if this is where Sean... Is this where Sean Bean
and Channing Tatum plunged... Because they're on Jupiter now, right?
Sure.
I think they're on Jupiter, yeah.
Sure.
Was it, they have to like go through like the...
This wasn't actually Jupiter, though, was it?
I think it is, yeah. Because they like go through the storm...
I thought they were in a whole other galaxy.
No, I think they're in Jupiter because there's like shots of Jupiter.
Is this all happening on Jupiter?
Yeah. Well, this stuff I think is.
How do people not know this place exists?
I don't know.
We can see Jupiter with a telescope.
There's just a constant.
No one ever saw like these spaceships going.
No, there's a constant Men in Black flasher going off.
Yeah.
In Jupiter.
I thought it was just Jupiter ascending because that was her name.
Yeah, but no, I think his planet was Jupiter because they go crashing through the hurricane, the storm, the big giant red spot.
Okay.
And because that's what they need to. Well, at first they have to get through the Warhammers.
Is it Jupiter? Or no, I'm sorry. Planet.
Actually, I think is Redmayne and one of them's on Jupiter. It might be Redmayne later on. But so here they're going through the. Yeah, that's later on. I'm sorry. Right now they're going.
It doesn't matter.
It
doesn't really matter.
Here's
what planet
how crazy this
on.
Movie is. This totally could have been any of these could have been Jupiter.
Well, I think later on Redmayne's on Jupiter, but. This one they have to go through the Warhammers, which are like just space mines. So they get through that, and then they crash into the the wedding.
Yes,
they literally crash the wedding.
They literally,
they're literally wedding crashes.
Yeah,
and just as like she's about to finalize the vows or whatever,
and orgy guy Titus is like forcing her hand, like grabbing her hand, like forcing it, trying to imprint this thing on her, so she's getting it. And she's like, "Hey, leave my hand alone." And
Channing Tatum pops up and he's like, he wanted to kill you.
He was going to kill you as soon as you married him.
Yeah. He's like, hey.
And then ending, the most anticlimactic ending to a scene where someone crashes a spaceship through a wedding. They're just like, all right, we'll be leaving now.
Yeah. She's just
like nothing happened after that.
Channing Tatum says
it's even worse than that. He's like, can I kill him? And she's like, just get me home. And it just cuts. It's like, did he kill him or did.
Yeah.
It's like, okay.
And we also. Never see Orgy Guy again in the film.
Yeah.
So the sister and Orgy Guy are alive and well at the end of this movie with no ramifications for anything they've done.
As far as we know.
What I don't get is they're in the wedding chapel. It's Channing Tatum versus everyone. This brother is willing to kill to get what he wants and he just lets them go?
Yeah. He's like, hey, those skates are rad, bro. I can't keep up
with
them.
Like, what happened
in
that scene? They're like, okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. Pay for the damage.
He bit a guy's neck once, so.
So now.
Well, at some point, it was probably around here, it goes back to Earth with.
Well, because Mila Kunis says to the space cops and Channing Tatum, she goes, I just want to go back to Earth.
Yeah.
And so the space cops are like, okay, we'll take you back to Earth. They take her back to her apartment, and her apartment is empty. It's been, like, trashed. Oh, because...
Well, you see the scene where they get...
Because earlier in the movie, Eddie Redmayne's assistant came busting into the... Super Mario Brothers.
His Koopa. Totally see that, because they were wearing the leather jackets and everything.
Yeah.
So they busted in and took the family.
Yeah.
So they come home and see that they're gone.
And it's just
and they figure out it's Eddie Redmayne, so like, oh, we gotta go to Jupiter. And
well, Eddie Redmayne's assistant
the aliens
is there.
Are there.
Weasley assistant is like says like, we kidnapped your family, but if you'll meet with Eddie Redmayne, maybe we'll let them all go. And immediately, the space cops and Channing Tatum are like, bad idea. And Mila Kunis, who's already been suckered in by like everyone in this movie, is like, let's go, let's do it. I'm like, this is what else? She is the person who's being sold the Brooklyn Bridge or like, you know, swamp.
But then
land
the bad
in
guys are like rather weird. They're like, oh, you can follow us back if you want, though.
Yeah. Okay. And like Mila Kunis isn't even like, I'm going to ride in our ship and we'll meet you there or something.
Yeah, it's the type of conversation you have when like. After like a softball game and you want to have brunch somewhere and you're like, okay, I'll follow you. Yeah, cool. Brunch. Yeah. Like, it's...
Brunch at Wegmans.
Exactly. Yeah. Brunch at Wegmans. No, but it's like, they're, all these villains are, like, the most polite villains. It's like, oh, this guy was going to kill you after they got married. Crash the wedding. Oh, you can go, I guess.
Right.
Oh, sister might want to kill you, too. But, oh, no, they just have a spa day and they're cool.
Yeah.
Guy who has your family hostage, you come or we kill him. Well, you can follow us back to where we're going to keep you. Right. It's cool.
Yeah. So they close the gate or the portal or something, which keeps the space cops on the outside of the planet. And Mila Kunis and goes down there where Eddie Redmayne seems to live on, like, the most industrial planet of all.
Which may or may not be Jupiter.
I'm pretty sure at this point it's Jupiter.
Could be Jupiter. Where he's really... I almost don't even want to talk about Eddie Redmayne's conversation because it takes me back to this goofy overacting he does.
It's the great line from my opener.
Yeah.
I create life! And I destroy it.
Yeah. And the whole thing is like that. And it's just him defending this company's business model. And at some point in here, Mila Kunis is like, wait a minute, did you kill your mother? I bet you killed your mother. And he's like, what? No. He's like,
how dare you?
Yeah.
There were some lines where, like, I don't think this did any good, but I just kind of instinctually, like, leaned in closer to the TV because I couldn't understand what he was saying. This, he, like, dropped his voice so low.
There are so many audio mixing problems with this movie, especially, like, the dialogue mixing is impossible. Like, I don't know if Eddie Redmayne, like, didn't want to do ADR, if this is, like, location sound. I was at a complete loss to understand
this scene was a disaster.
Well, something happened here. Like, the one laugh I had in this movie was, I think, in the scene where he, like, shows her, like, he pushes a button, like, the floor becomes translucent, and her family is underneath, like, strapped to, like, torture devices.
Looked like the torture device that Han Solo had in Empire Strikes Back. All these random needles and buzzsaws and everything.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, give me. He just wants, like, the planet, right? That's all he wants from her.
He wanted her to, like, put her little arm tattoo on this scanner to
sign over. So he's like, sign over the planet or I'll torture your family. And so she says, okay, just let my family go and I'll do whatever you want. I'll do whatever you want if you just let them go. And he's like, you're in no position to bargain. And he, like, starts torturing him. He's like, this is what you just wanted. You just told her to sign it over. She said, I'll do it.
She basically agreed. And then at some point she goes, wait a second. There's millions of people on Earth. You're going to be turning them all into Soylent Green. And then he's like, no, not while you're alive. And she's like, hold on. I don't know about this.
And then she says to him, like, wait a minute. You can't do anything as long as I don't sign this.
Yeah.
And he like doesn't even answer her. He's like,
I didn't think of that.
Yeah, she's just now figuring things out. That, like, these are, by the way, the exact things the space cops and Channing Tatum were telling her, like, when they were still on Earth.
Except for the fact that, like, I thought she understood that premise, because that's what the whole, like, ransom thing works.
I thought so. I think she went into this.
They're still going to kill your family. Like, that's the whole point. Like,
I really believe she went into this negotiation with Eddie Redmayne not understanding either of their positions. Yeah.
Like, when she figures that out, it's like, that's why he's holding your family hostage, because he can't do anything without that signature.
Right. And meanwhile, Channing Tatum is, like, standing.
She's doing this stuff, guys.
Yeah.
3 days ago, she was cleaning toilets.
Yeah. That's right. Well, in 3 days from now, she'll be back to cleaning toilets.
Less than that.
Tomorrow. Channing Tatum is sitting up on the space cop's ship, and he needs Sean Bean to come up to him to be like, hey, you know what you should do? Go down there. And Channing Tatum is looking at his face like, you are right. I should go down there. So he gets in this, like, pod.
Yeah, and he has to, like, fly through the storm.
He has to fly through the storm, and, like, in theory, I guess his space pod could break up, but what ends up happening is he just crash lands his space pod, which seems to start a sequence of events that causes Eddie Redmayne's planet to blow up
somehow. Yeah.
Is that right? Because I'm not even sure. So. I don't think the
planet was blowing up. I think it was just his facility,
factory. Yeah. His Soylent, because he's living. He's on Jupiter. At the Soylent Green factory. Is that the Soylent Green factory?
On Jupiter, probably.
I don't know. I kind of thought it was, but then towards the end, I think it's just his palace.
Oh, I think it is, because they had that one scene where they show like those humans in the tubes, and he's like, and there's one assistant it's going to be a very good crop this year, sir.
Yeah.
They just show those naked bodies in blue liquid.
This is so dumb. And he ends up fighting with the Koopa trooper, the dinosaur guy, and Mila Kunis ends up in like a platformer video game. Like, if anyone's familiar with like Uncharted or something like that, like she plays like essentially a really tough level in Uncharted, jumping from like decaying platform to decaying platform. I have no idea what the geography of the Eddie Redmayne planet is, for where anyone is
Jupiter, everything is just floating up, because I'm pretty sure it's a gaseous planet. It is a gaseous planet.
I guess, yeah, that's true. She and Eddie Redmayne end up together. I don't know what's keeping all those
buildings up, but...
Yeah, it is a pretty unstable planet for him to build this giant Soylent Green factory on. She beats Eddie Redmayne with, like, a tire iron for a while.
Well, she starts beating him. He's beating her. And then she somehow flips it around and gets the tire iron and starts beating him.
Yeah, how did those tables turn? I don't even remember.
I think she kicked him in the balls, I think.
I think that is it. I think she just, like, kicked him. It wasn't even, like, anything cool where it was just, like...
I think she just
totally unprepared for her to kick him.
Yeah.
And then they had that one weird scene where they're fighting and he's like, do you know... Sorry, I didn't do that right. Do you know what our mother, whatever, said before she died? And then, like, there's like 2 minutes before he answers it, because then she starts kicking his ass, and then
she doesn't care.
He again has to be like, "All right, do you remember?"
Yeah.
I really want
to
get.
She
this out.
Begged me to do it. She wanted to die.
Again, it's like that's meant.
I don't know this character at all.
Like that's meant to hurt her or something. Yeah. She's like, I that doesn't mean anything to me.
He was saying that like it was some taunt to her.
Yeah. Because that.
And then she's like, "I'm not your mother." It's like, yeah, that's been established. That's why that doesn't matter.
We've established that.
No one really cares. Yeah. Mila Kunis has no relation to that mother. No feelings for her.
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't make any sense.
And meanwhile...
So things blow up and he falls off.
Things blow up. He falls off, but notice we do not see him die, which sequel. I thought was like they actually make a point of us not seeing him die. And then the planet.
I didn't watch the credits, but was there like a Masters of the Universe scene at the end?
I will tell you this movie was like 2 hours and like 7 minutes long. The instant credits started, I was like,
I was so excited because I was looking at the time left, and at one point there was like 25. I was like, how is there going to be 25 more minutes? But then like the credits were like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I was like, yes.
Yeah.
I knew the credits would be long because there's a lot of visual effects and stuff. Usually the credits end up being
The CGI credits had to be. So basically, like, Channing Tatum comes up on his super skates. The space cops are like, oh, this planet's unstable. We've got to get away. We've got to go into the hyperdrive from Lost in Space. We've got to get into... And they're not going to make it, but actually Channing Tatum just gets close enough to the ship that when the ship goes into hyperdrive...
He gets caught up in it.
They get caught up in it, which seems like that...
That would tear him apart.
I don't
apart.
Know how just like a human being can get sucked into a wormhole and be fine, but whatever.
Well, they make it the point in the other scenes that he needs that spacesuit thing to survive in space, but in other times when it's convenient, he doesn't need a spacesuit.
Well, they're
like
in
that
spacesuits
time,
there.
They
do,
oh yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
They do grab spacesuits.
Yeah. Spacesuits there.
So then they,
already did survive a hyper speed thing without a spacesuit. So I guess doing it with a spacesuit is nothing.
Also true. Yeah. And so then it's just like, okay, everybody made it in through the wormhole. We're all good. And then it's just cut to Mila Kunis cleaning toilets again. She goes back to her life as a cleaning lady and like living with her family in their small apartment. And
knowing that she owns
honestly, seeing how she handled crisis situations back there, I'm perfectly fine with her not advancing at all. into upper management.
that's kind of the point I want to make, is this movie seems to be a feminist nightmare at times.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times does she have to be saved?
Yeah, how many times does Channing Tatum come in at the last minute on his rocket shoes and swoop her up?
Like, I was hoping at one point she would save him or something.
Like, you would think that they would give her like a really strong one. Like, the message of this movie is this girl keeps making terrible decisions, needs to be saved by her boyfriend, and she's happiest when cleaning toilets. I'm like, what message is that?
And she married that. She wanted. She was gonna marry that guy as soon as he.
And as soon as a guy shows her a shiny rock, she's all in on marriage. I mean, I'm like, this is seriously terrifying.
Like, and at the end, like the big thing they show that illustrates how much she's come from the beginning of the movie. At the end is in the beginning. She takes forever to wake up and says she doesn't want to wake up some morning at the end. She's already up before her mom and her aunt.
Yeah.
She's the one making breakfast and coffee for them. I'm like, good. She's better at domestic chores now after all this. Yeah. Thank God. She's truly learned her lesson. Now the coffee
is ready.
Then when they show her cleaning toilets, the mom's impressed at how quickly she cleaned the toilet.
Basically, like, she's a better maid
She's
now.
Become a better domestic woman and cleaning households after all this. That's what she learned from going to five different galaxies and finding out she owns the entire planet.
Yeah.
And her family's amazing. Like, we bought you a telescope as a present. And she's kind of like, cool.
Well, the whole point of that telescope was to see other planets. I've kind of and now been I've to been Jupiter, to them. So. But yeah. Thanks anyway.
And then she's like, hey, guys, I got a date. And there's a couple of zany jokes. And then she goes up and meets Channing Tatum on a roof. And as we were saying earlier, he has wings now. And she has super boots, skate boots. And so she's skating around. And he's flying around.
And then cuts across.
And that's it.
And they have little werewolf human babies.
Do the babies have wings too? Or?
I don't think so. Because I don't think that was genetic.
Do they get wings?
Maybe.
Maybe they'll have bee wings.
This was unbelievably terrible.
I've been waiting to do this for a long time. Because when this came out, I wanted to do it in theaters.
Oh, God. I could not sit through this. I would have left the theater.
It would have been hilarious seeing it together in theaters. But
if we saw it together, probably. Like when I saw Transformers 4 on my own, that was the worst experience.
When we saw the Frankenstein.
I Frankenstein,
that was fun.
Yeah.
But, boy.
It is.
I would not call this the worst movie of the movies we've seen.
No.
It might be the scene where there was the most irrelevant things when you really, and I didn't even realize it until we were talking about it, but it's incredible how many things happened that really didn't matter.
It's one of the most confusing movies we've done, I think. For me, at least. I didn't know what was happening.
Dumb. Yeah.
And it was actually a very simple story. It could have been when you think about it.
Yeah. Was just because they didn't introduce any of the concepts that I was so confused. Like, you're just supposed to know that these people
own
planets and were royals.
Well, there's no stakes and no ramifications. I mean, two of the main villains are totally fine, you know, at the end of this movie, just living their lives.
Well, if anything, they're going to be in really good shape now, because now, like, the one Kingpin brother is dead. So
might
now
be
they can
dead.
Just.
Yeah.
Take over and keep doing the things that he was doing.
Yeah. And that sister was all about the spa business.
Like, I know.
She was not slowing down at all.
She's going to harvest Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's separating those other people from just harvest? I guess because she's technically the ruler of the planet.
Yeah. I don't think they can touch it unless they own it.
Yeah.
So as long as she owns it, they can't touch it.
I guess. So is dumb.
Point, yeah.
All right, we'll do a quick So Wrong It's Right. I'm going to have each of you guys take a guess at what you think the budget of this movie was.
Oh, I bet this was a huge budget.
And the opening weekend U.S. gross.
Oh, God. All
right, so budget, two numbers.
I bet it's a big budget. I'm going to go... I'm going to go... All right, this might be too much, but I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to say $140 million.
Okay.
And I'm going to say... Much higher than that. I'm gonna say it took in $8 million.
Okay, 140 and eight. Okay.
I'm gonna say, man, I'm gonna go. That might be too high too, but I'll say $200 million. It feels like it could be $200 million.
Okay.
And I'm gonna say $25 million it brought in.
I think Cody's gonna take it. It had a production budget of $179 million. That's pre-advertising. That's just the film production budget of $179. Opening weekend of $19 million. Which puts this as a
we're giant, pretty close.
Yeah,
pretty close. I think you narrowed me out, but we were both like split the distance.
I mean, that's truly like a John Carter level flop. It's and they talk in this Variety article about how the buzz has been terrible ever since they showed stuff at a theater owners convention of Mila Kunis, where people were like, ooh, and there was according to Variety, there was a sense of impending cinematic disaster. And it's just, yeah.
I just kept thinking, like, why would anybody want to watch this? Like, it just didn't have any value or merit to me as a viewer. Like, I don't know who would want to see, like, who would see a trailer for that and be like, yeah, I want to see that movie.
I don't really know. I mean, it's very visual. Unless you're,
like,
visual. Really
into sci-fi movies and, like...
Yeah, but you're just into, weird... like, dumb sci-fi. I mean... There's a lot of visual imagery in it that I thought was interesting, but it's so nonsensical and so dumb that even the visual imagery, like there was one point where I was like, what if I just watched this with the audio off? But I was like, I don't know. They keep going back to the Royals dialogue scenes, which I would, even if the audio was off, I'd be like, well, that's dumb. You know,
the visuals even, like it's that CGI that's just too CGI. It's too much going on. It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like, you know, kind of like I always think about Revenge of the Sith with CGI, like on the lava planet.
Yes.
At the end, where it's just so much going on. It's just too much and it just feels too unreal.
There's something about. I like Mila Kunis as an actress. She's
the only thing I liked about the movie was Mila Kunis.
I like her, but she also felt very out of place.
Yeah. I didn't think she was very good in this, but I don't think it was necessarily her fault because I just think this is not the type of movie she should be in.
Yeah. It was a weird. I know they offered it to other people first, but it was a weird casting.
It was strange. Yeah. It just didn't. So we can do like, I'll go first on us. Is it so bad it's good? I'm just going to say no. This movie frustrated me incredibly and just made me angry. And I don't know. They were like, it is terrible, but it's not, I don't think it's so bad it's good. It's so bad it's frustrating, which is sort of its own category of movies. I don't know.
I watched, the first hour and a half early in the day, and then I had to finish up the last half hour later in the day, and I was dreading it for the whole day. I was like, oh, I gotta finish that freaking movie.
Yeah,
I put it off as long as I could. It was just so bad and so just dull, and I just hated it. Yeah.
I don't think it was so bad it was good, but I will say this. I do want to watch it one more time after we just talked about it, because I really didn't quite realize how many scenes and how many of these storylines went nowhere. And I'll admit, there were parts of the movie where I really tuned out. I'm hoping maybe I just missed some things while watching it. So I kind of want to like look for certain things and see like, maybe did they explain what that one ship was that saved Channing Tatum? Like,
I am going to Wikipedia who the space cops were.
Yeah, that
would go to the Wikipedia.
That bothered me
to
the whole rest of the movie because I was like,
I'm just glad that I was the only one who was confused by that.
At one point I was thinking like, all right, you don't even have to give me any sort of background about them. Just like, can someone say like the organization's name, even in passing, just to explain, like throw us a bone?
Because they are wearing uniforms.
Yeah. Well, at one point, the woman's like, on the record, I have to, go against this, but off the record. I was like, what record?
She said that. I'm like, what record? Yeah. Who's
keeping the record? Just say who's keeping the record. Just don't say the record. Say what the record is.
Yeah.
Say, like, for the intergalactic space cop record. I don't something.
Yeah.
Or have them, like, sign some form at the end that has some letterhead. Something.
Yeah.
Give us an Easter egg.
But I bet, because Channing Tatum is so big right now, and people like Mila Kunis so much, I bet a million people watch this and a million people like are banging their head against the wall trying to make sense of it.
I didn't realize Mila Kunis was in it until I watched the trailer just before I watched the movie, because I didn't really look at anything for the movie. When I saw she's in, I was like, oh, okay, well, at least that's something in the movie that I can attach myself to.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, I was like, I don't care about Channing Tatum. I didn't realize Trevelyan was in it, but.
Hey, Sean Bean makes everything better.
Yeah.
Everything's better with Bean.
Bean makes it better.
Bean makes it better. All right, that brings this one to a close. This was a rough one.
Yeah.
I'm going to make the appeal that I made last time, which is, if you're a fan of the show, please give us a positive review on iTunes. It just takes a second, and it really helps the show out in the algorithm of how Apple works. And we will greatly appreciate it. We read all of the positive reviews that come in.
And this was a laborious one. This was not fun.
This one, I was trying to think of the last movie like they did that was like a real slog like this. We've had a few.
I think for me it was Transformers.
That's
when that was the toughest to watch and the toughest to sort through.
It also felt a little like that Ethan Hawke, Selena Gomez movie where it just felt like we were really working through it. That movie was funnier, though. That was funny.
I thought that movie was funnier.
That was a good one.
That would have been the only thing that made this better. Selena Gomez.
What if Selena Gomez was in the Mila Kunis part? Can you imagine that movie?
That would have been unwatchable.
Oh.
I would have said this.
Get out of my spaceship.
That would have been incredible. We'll be back soon. The one movie I know we can tease because it will be coming up soon is Diamonds Are Forever. We know we're doing that.
We've been teasing that one for a while.
I can't wait. Well, I promised Salmanine we'd bring him in for that.
Okay.
Super James Bond fan, Salmanine.
And we have not done an in-theater one in a while.
We do need to do an in-theater
one. I am thinking The Man from U.N.C.L.E.
God, don't Cavill promise one, right? It. What if it's good? We have such terrible luck on promising.
I don't think it's gonna be good.
It is Henry Cavill, but it's from Guy Ritchie.
It's Armie Hammer. We have the Lone Ranger.
Oh God, it is the Lone Ranger.
Cold Light of Day in one movie.
Imagine
all we need is a Bruce Willis cameo.
That's a potential. Well,
that looks terrible.
Stay tuned.
I don't even think I got through the trailer. I watched part of the trailer. I was like,
I do like Guy Ritchie, but it does look terrible. Stay tuned to our Twitter page at Windup Films and our Facebook page, and see if we end up doing Man from U.N.C.L.E. because we will be watching Rotten Tomatoes very closely on that one, no doubt about it. All right, I think that brings this one to a close. We will see you back here next time. Bye.
Goodbye.